Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Shabbos daf Lamed Aleph, and we're starting near the top of the Amud with Halacha Hey, and Vilna Tzuris daf is on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. And today's daf is sponsored by Lila Nishmas Mars Mem Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amash should have an Aliyah. We continue discussing cooking. The Mishnah says Ha'ilfas Vakteira, a pan or pot Shavir Merusachin, that he took them off the fire and they're still boiling hot. Lo Yitil Sachin Tavlin. One is not allowed to put spices into them because it's going to cook the spices. But he could put spices into a plate or serving dish that has the hot food in it. That's because it's a klisheni. Kli Rishon can cook. That's a thing that was on the fire. But once the food's been transferred into another kli, a kli sheni, such as a plate or a serving dish, then spices are allowed to be put inside. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, L'chalu naisein, he's allowed to put spices into anything, even into a kli rishon, as long as it's off the fire. Chutz midavar sheyesh bo chametz tzitzir, except if this thing has vinegar or fish brine. These are very sharp foods, and even if the food is off of the fire, still, as long as it's hot and it has these sharp foods in it, it will cook the spices. The Gemara now asks a question, Ma'olitein tavlin milamata v'leros alein milamala, is a person allowed to put spices inside a kli sheni, inside a bowl, for example, and then pour the boiling hot food from the kli rishon onto the spices? This is called irui kli rishon, pouring from a kli rishon. On one hand, the spice is already in a kli sheni, so maybe it's not a problem. On the other hand, they're being hit by a stream of liquid that's coming from a kli rishon. So Rabbi Amar Rabbi says, Asur, one's not allowed to do it. The irui kli rishon, who that irui from a kli rishon is like the kli rishon itself, and it cooks. And Chalaz Rabbi Yonim and Hada, the proof of Rabbi Yonim is from the following. We have a mission that discusses kalim that had kachim in them. We know that all karbanos have a certain time that they're allowed to be eaten, after which the meat becomes nicer and has to be burned. Now, what about the kalim that those karbanos were in? So the Mishnah tells us, echad shebishal bai, whether the kli had kachim cooked in it, echad she'ir l'saychai ruseach, or the kli had hot kachim poured into it, they need something called meriko shtifa. They have to be totally wiped out and washed out because they had this kachim inside. So we see very clearly from here that irui is like kli rishon, because ir l'saychai ruseach is being compared to bishal bai. However, Amar Beis basically says it's not a raya. Taman kli cheres baileya. Over there, it's talking about a kli cheres, an earthenware kli, and earthenware absorbs even just with iroi, whereas tavlin, enon mesbashlin, spices are not necessarily going to be cooked by having hot food from a kli rishon poured onto them. Now, Hazar Rabbi Yossi Rabbon asked the following, Vatoni, we have a brass that says, Af b'chli nechayshas kain, that this din of kachim applies even to a copper kli, and is chomem kli nechayshas baileya, are you able to say that copper absorbs heat like earthenware does? And so this is a question on Rabbi Yossi's rebuttal of Rabbi Yaina's raya. The Gemara continues with another question, Ma'olaros minakiluach. What about pouring into the stream? We had an original question where spices were placed into the bottom of a kli sheni and then hot food was poured directly from the kli rishon onto them. The question is, even according to the tzad, that's permitted. What about while this stream of hot liquid is coming out of the kli rishon, is one allowed to put spices directly into the flow of liquid? Forget about into the pot. What about into the liquid itself? And the answer is, Amar Rav Chanan Yibrei Rav Hillel, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. It's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says Mutter, Rabbi Yossi says Aser. And Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Gufta, Ba Kumi Ramana, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Gufta asked for Ramana, Asa Ken B'Shabbes, Chayim Yishum Avashel, according to Rabbi Yaina, that it's also to do this. If he did this on Shabbos, would it be chayiv for cooking? By the same token, also came with basar and chalav, chayiv mishum avashel. If he did this with basar and chalav, if he took boiling hot milk and poured it directly onto meat, would he be over the isra of cooking meat and milk? So Amalei told him, kadamar abzera, it's just like what abzera said. Vezu chalot barer, what's considered 100% chalot, which is literally translated as scalding, it's a type of cooking, kol sha'ar mahalach tachtov, that's if the fire is currently underneath this vessel, v'koi ezu tavshel barer, over here as well, what's considered 100% cooking, the one's going to be over for, kol sha'ur mahalach tachtov, that's only if the fire is burning underneath the kli, then it's going to be cooking and one will be over for bishul if he does so. But anything beyond that, such as irui kli rishon, even though it's usur, the person's not going to be over because of mevashel. And now explain the last part of the Mishnah of Yudah. Rav Yudah says, l'chol hu naisein, a person can put spices into anything, even if it's a hot kli rishon, as long as it's off the fire, chutz midavar sheyesh bo chametz tzitzir, except for something that has vinegar and fish brine, because these are very sharp foods and they will aid in the cooking process. The Gemara says, al tadei Rav Yudah, according to Rav Yudah, melach ketzir, salt is just like fish brine. It has this property that it's able to cook along with the food that's boiling hot, and yayin kechaymet, wine is just like vinegar. Now moving to halacha vav. From now to the end of the perek, we're going to pause on the whole discussion of cooking food, and we're going to move on to talk about muktza. Literally, this means set aside, and we know that's pretty classic that on Shabbos one is going to say, don't touch it, it's muktza, but obviously the dinim extend far beyond this basic understanding. And there's a number of types of muktza varying in their degrees of chumrah. There's muktza machmas gufay, muktza machmas iser, muktza machmas chasrin kiss, and that's just to name a few. And one more point before we begin, there's a machlokes Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda across the board regarding muktza, where we find Reb Shimon being makel in various muktza discussions, whereas Reb Yehuda is machmir. So Misha tells us, ain't nice and kli tachas aner lekabel bayis hashemen. One's not allowed to take a kli, for example, a bowl, and place it underneath a lamp which is dripping with oil to catch that oil. This is because the oil is muktza, so now the kli is a basis to the oil. Basis means it's a base. It's a base to something that's muktza, so the kli can't be moved either. And this tana holds aser levatel kli mechanai. One is not allowed to nullify a kli from its prepared state. This this kli, this bowl, was muchan, it was ready and available for use, and now that it has mukta oil in it, it's no longer available to be used. So one's allowed to do this on Shabbos. However, says Mishnah, avim nasan b'bayit yoim, mutar. If he had placed it there before Shabbos began, so it's permitted, because already before Shabbos started, he was makta it, he set it aside to catch this oil, so there's no problem. Furthermore, ve'ina oisin menu, lefi she'ena mina muchan, one's allowed to benefit from this oil that drips out, because the oil is not mina muchan. It was designated to be used for his Shabbos licht, and so he already was makta it for that. Therefore, any oil that drips out of the lamp is still considered muktzah, and he's not allowed to use it. On Talamad Aleph Amud Beis on top, the Gemara begins by asking, Rav Chagai Bayer, Rav Chagai asked the following, Kofim ba'od yoyim v'nizvat alayim shechashecha. Let's say his lamp got extinguished before Shabbos. He lit the lamp before Shabbos. They got extinguished before Shabbos started, and he didn't realize until Shabbos itself. The question is, may he use the rest of the oil? Another question, Chavrai Bo, the Talmidim in the Yeshiva asked, Kofim b'Shabbos zu, let's say his lamp got extinguished on this Shabbos, v'nizvat alayim b'Shabbos haba, and he only found out the next Shabbos. Let's say he lit one of those yahrzeit candles that burns for more than a week, and so he lit it Erev Shabbos week one. It got extinguished that very Shabbos. He did not realize it. And the next Shabbos in the middle, he found out that it was extinguished already the week before. Now, the difference between these two questions is in Rav Chagai's scenario, it wasn't even lit on Shabbos at all. It got extinguished before Shabbos. Whereas in Talmid and Yeshiva's question, it was lit this Shabbos, so it technically did have the Isra of being lit on Shabbos, but now we're just talking about the next Shabbos. Is it permitted then? So Omar Bichon, he gives an answer to both these questions. You don't have anything which is be'en. It's ready. It's prepared. You could use it right now. But it's not considered muchan, meaning it's mukta for a different reason, except for one thing. There's only one thing that fits this bill, and that's a lamp on Shabbos. It's totally be'en. It's completely ready. It doesn't require any more processing or anything else to be done to it for it to be ready to use. But it's not muchan. It's not halachically prepared for Shabbos because it's mukta machmas iser due to the fact that a fire is currently burning in it. And that's the only thing that we have, which is usser. However, once a lamp gets extinguished, it goes back to its pre-non-muchan state where it's be'en and it's ready to use, and so he is allowed to benefit from it. Now we're just going to have a number of questions on this Yusari Rabbi Yechanan. Hazar Blazer Blazer asks the following, Hare Shemin Bener, what about the oil in the lamp? Hare Be'enoihu, it's ready, it technically could be used, Ve'ena Be'echanoi, it's not muchan, and once a lamp is extinguished, he's not allowed to use the oil. The answer is that case is different. L'kachnasu Mishar Rishayna, Sheikh LeBener, originally when he put the oil into the lamp, it was with the intention that it was going to get completely burned up, and therefore he was makta everything, and that's why even if it does get extinguished on Shabbos, he's not allowed to use it. Hazar Shlokish asks another question. What about wheat when they're planted? These kernels haven't taken root yet. They're be'en, they're ready. He could technically take them right now, but they're not muchan because he planted them. Why are those asur? And the answer is that was his original intention when he put them in the ground that they should completely decompose and get set into the ground so that they could grow into new wheat, and therefore he made the muktzah fully forever. Hasevun asks another question. What about eggs that are being used to hatch into chicks? They were placed under the chicken. They're be'en. He could technically take them and eat them, but they're not considered muchan, and he's not allowed to. Why is that? The answer is originally, from the get-go, when he placed these eggs under the chicken, his intention was that they should hatch into chicks, and therefore they're always considered mukta. Rimi asked the following question. What about sukkah decorations? They're be'en. They're ready. They don't need any preparation, but they're not considered muchan, and they're usher to use all 7 days of sukkahs. Why is that? The answer is that case is also different. The brother of Yosef said, "Call Shiva Hin Batilan Agav Sukkah. All 7 days, they're bottled to the sukkah because he intended to use them as nice sukkah as a decorations. So they're bottled to the sukkah, and he's not allowed to use them. But Mikan Vehelech Bechanoi Hin. From then on, they are considered muchan, meaning the 8th day of sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, they're actually mutter to use because they fall off the status of being a hukta for the sukkah. Once it's Shmini Atzeres, we don't sit in a sukkah anymore, and therefore they are allowed to be used. Hasar Ruchin Ruchin asks another question. Hare Muchan Shenis Basru. What about soft tufts of material that got scattered? This is, for example, soft tufts of wool or cotton that he used to insulate his pot of food, and then when he took the pot out, they got all scattered. They're be'en. He could technically use them for atmana again. But they're not muchan. He can't use them. Why not? And the answer is over here, we're talking about kelim. This is a kli. These muchan that we just mentioned fit in the category of kelim. Whereas this that Rabbi Yechon was saying is referring to food, and therefore it's not a question. And one last question. Rav Nasa asks, what about muktzah that dried up? And he didn't touch it. Or that's a different girsa. He didn't know about it. This is talking about where he took figs or grapes and put them on his roof to dry. And the reason why they're muktzah is because when the drying process starts, they actually become asriach. They become unedible for a while until they're completely dried. And he didn't realize or he didn't touch them and they were already dried before Shabbos. We have the same issue. It's be'en. It's there. It's ready. He could technically use them right now. He could eat them, but they're not muchan. And once again, the Igmar answers, this is also talking about kelim, whereas Rabbi Yechon was talking about food. Now, even though it's not kelim, it's It's like kalim because, as we said, since these figs and grapes go through a stage that they're unedible, they're like kalim, and therefore that's not what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss muktzah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.